thank you for your patience. This has been an abundant afternoon for us, and we've had a lot to go over. This is the latest we've ever started a city council meeting that I've ever been part of, ever. And so we appreciate you being here and appreciate your patience. We also have some special visitors here, which we'll let Mr. Marler introduce in just a little bit. Thank you to all of you for being here. This is the City of South Jordan City Council meeting and Redevelopment Agency meeting. Today is Tuesday, August 1st, 2023. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan with these outstanding public servants who sit up here with me. We have excellent city council members here in this city, and we're so grateful for their service and for all that they do. We love our staff, and we appreciate our administrative staff being here. Thank you for all that you do. And we wouldn't have any of this without living in the best city there is, the best people who live here. So thank you to everyone who's here in person, those joining us online, and those who will be watching this later. We are going to open tonight's meeting with an invocation by our Director of Strategy and Budget, Mr. Don Tingey.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this evening and grateful to be in City Council meeting. Thankful for this opportunity, and blessed that Thy Spirit might be here tonight as we talk about the needs and concerns of the city, and blessed that Thy Spirit might be here as we discuss them and that we might speak and discuss in civility. Grateful for this great community in which we live, and bless the people that live here that they might be watched over and protected. And again, blessed that we thankful for our opportunity to serve this community, and we say these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Tingey. All right, our Pledge of Allegiance tonight will be led to us by our Fire Chief, Chris Dawson.
All rise, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our nation's colors. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you, Chief Dawson. We appreciate it. Okay, once again, please accept the apology of myself and our council and the staff who were with us for our delayed start time. We had some critical discussions that had to be completed while all of the partners were here, and so we appreciate your patience. We're sorry to keep you waiting, and I'm going to ask for a motion to amend our agenda tonight. We are going to remove the presentation that's listed as G1 by Ryan Levitt. We're going to take that off this agenda, and then where's Mr. Luce? I don't know where he is. Okay. We have some additional business from earlier carried over that we need to discuss how best to add that.
Whatever your pleasure is, Mayor, if you want to add it back ahead of those items so that we don't keep them waiting any longer than they've been here. The last two items are all staff-driven, so.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that. So a new G would be a continuation of our discussion in our previous meeting, a project discussion under the direction of our Director of Planning, Stephen Schaefermeyer, on the project with Mr. Doug Young. Right? And so that would replace item G that's currently listed. Okay? All right. I need a motion reflecting that to amend the agenda, please.
So moved.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. The agenda is amended, and by note, we appreciate Mr. McGuire joining us, even while he's not here with us in person. We appreciate him joining us online, and he will be fully participating in this meeting. Okay, the minutes from our July 18, 2023 City Council study meeting and our combined City Council and Redevelopment Agency meeting have been sent out for review. Does anyone have any questions or concerns about those? Any amendments? Or if not, can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Seeing no changes to the minutes, Mayor, I'll move that we approve the July 18, 2023 City Council meeting and the July 18, 2023 combined City Council redevelopment meeting minutes.
Thank you. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you. Mr. Marler and Mr. Harris. Any additional discussion? All right, seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, those minutes are approved. Thank you. All right, we turn to our mayor and council reports. We're going to move through these very quickly, if at all possible. And would you like to go first, or do you need more time?
I'm happy. I really don't have too many other items. I did some work with one of our favorite developers here over the last couple of weeks, but I am very proud to have a family here tonight. I've got my daughter Meredith and her husband Neil and my grandson Grant and Cooper and granddaughter Emery here with us, and so I'm ecstatic to have them. I think there are a couple photos as well. These are actually taken, these two photos right here are actually taken at the Jordan Ridge Park, just so you know. That's the connection. And if you'll hold it right there for just 1 second, this for some reason was a mourning dove conference right outside my window. My business window. This is the view I have. The other connection is this particular piece of property is actually on the Planning Commission agenda, I believe. This is going to be proposed as a kind of an overflow parking area for the, I guess they would call it the East Indian Temple. You can see that to kind of the middle right, that kind of beige building. And so they have, you know, quite a following there, so that will be kind of an open parking area to accommodate their very large gatherings. So that's the purpose. I've never seen so many mourning doves in one location. That was just kind of a fun photo. So glad to have my family, and they probably won't stay too long now because they've been here for a while. But we actually hiked this morning up above the Albion Basin, above the lovely city of Alta.
I love that.
And there's a lake up there called Secret, starts with a C, but Secret Lake. And it was about 50 degrees at the lake and about 20 mile an hour wind. And Cooper was not very happy about the temperature up there, but we sure had a great time. So thank you for coming, family.
Did you get to see the wildflowers?
Oh,
very pretty, isn't it? So pretty. Well, you have the distinct honor of driving or flying clear across the country to join us for the latest start of a city council meeting we've ever had. So for that, we apologize. But thank you. Thanks for being here. Yeah, we appreciate Mr. Marler more than you know, more than we can say. And it's just a treat. We actually feel like we know you, like we're friends. Yeah. And you don't know that, but we are. We're like, we know you. And we're so glad to have you here. Thanks for joining us. Awesome. Thank you. Mr. Harris, would you like to go?
Sure. So I attended the South Valley Chamber barbecue that they had in our city. Mm-hmm. It was good to be there and see some of the businesses and all that they do. Also attended Pretty Palms had an invite that went out to the city council as well, so I went and attended that event, and it was a good event as well. Spent some time at Glenmore Golf Course with Doug. Thank you for the invite for the fireworks show and festivities and everything that was there. It was a wonderful time. You had a good turnout and it was well done. So thank you for that. And also going on at Glenmore Golf Course there's a junior golf tournament that's out there. And some of the golfers out there are just incredible. I was watching some of them play, and some of the best golfers, not just here locally in the state, but from throughout the country, you know, throughout the U.S., but there's even people from, you know, from other countries that have come in for this tournament. And so, I'm hearing that we have teenagers that are shooting in the high 60s. So we have some very good golfers, you know, that are out at that tournament. And so very well done. And I have to tip my hat off to the folks over at Glenmore. And we can continually see that it's attracting, tournaments and things into our city. Not only is it good for the golf course and brings in revenue to them, but, you know, they're also also brings in tourism dollars and revenue into the city, that which has been very, it's very good for the city. So it's very well done. So, and that is my report.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I actually had a picture of that I tried to submit that we took last night at the golf tournament, and It didn't ever go through. It wasn't ever delivered, so sorry. It's on my phone. That's it. Sorry, but it was awesome. Yeah, but sorry, I don't have that picture there. Mr. Shelton.
Yeah, I should have a few photos here. Oh, yes. So I went backpacking the day after our last city council meeting. I went backpacking into the High Uintas. That's a view across Betsy Lake. That's by Granddaddy Lake in the High Uintas. And I have to say, I'm not sure how many more backpacking trips I have in me. It was that was really hard. This is at the July 24th celebration at Glenmore, thanks to Mr. Young and my son's Jonathan there with his current love, Ariel. There hasn't been a Disney princess he hasn't loved at one time or another. And there he is in the Unified Golf League, is affiliated with the Special Olympics. And then this last Friday, I called up Chief Doss, and I had nephews visiting from out of town. They're on either side of us there. And Jonathan, they all actually have the same genetic disorder that Jonathan has. Anyway, we got a great tour out at Station 64. Chief Lesner and Battalion Chief Dave, I didn't catch his last name. I know he said it, but I don't remember. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Nelson.
Nelson, Dave Nelson. And really, the whole team there were really great. And they got to sit in the fire trucks and got to spray some water on some polycones, and I knocked over a few polycones myself with a water spray. And I thought, this hose is really easy to move, and I turned around, there was a firefighter right behind me carrying the hose. Oh, no wonder it's easy to move. Anyway, great time, and thank you, Chief, and special thanks to Chief Lesner and Battalion Chief Dave Nelson. Great, great people. I've also been in correspondence with staff about some issues on our park strips, and they're working on that. I guess just a lot of problems with those. And I had a resident bring up to me an idea that I think makes some sense. If you think about the trail coming up Bingham Creek to the culvert on 4800 West, that's a pretty sharp turn on that culvert right there. And there are a lot more bikes since that bike park opened up. There are a lot more bikes on that trail, pretty heavy traffic. And they wondered about the idea of maybe putting one of those kind of parabolic mirrors or a mirror of some sort there so that the bikers coming up or down, actually, can see traffic around that corner. So I'll leave that with the staff to think about, but I think that might be a good safety measure. Anyway, that's my report.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I have a couple of quick items. First thing I wanted to share is I frequent the Salt Lake County South Jordan Pool on Redwood quite often. And for those of you that are not aware, it's been closed for about 3 months. They just opened it finally this week, and it's back and running, and they have lifeguards, and that's kind of a big deal. If you go to the pool, it's now back open. So that's great. Second thing is I was able to actually volunteer and work at the Old Testament Tabernacle that's been traveling through different cities in our state. My husband and I volunteered there for a few hours Friday morning, and it hosted a lot of people around the city of South Jordan. Its last day is tomorrow, if anyone wants to go see that. The third thing I wanted to mention is we had a good friend's wedding reception out at the Glenmore outdoor reception area. And it was the first time I've been to different events out there, but my first wedding reception out there. And it was just beautiful. Some of the people were going down and buying a bucket of balls and you had the groomsmen out there. It was just darling. So very lovely. Thanks, Doug, for that improvement and just that beautiful asset in our city. Fourth, I had a resident approach me. In fact, I had a gentleman and his wife who run a local church. They've moved to South Jordan from out of state, and they started their own church, and it's actually kind of centered in Daybreak. It's called Sego Church. They asked me to meet with them. They wanted to find ways to serve in our city. And so I wanted to pose this to staff. I know we have an arts council and to the council. We have an arts council. We have a senior committee. I wonder if we want to pose the idea or float the idea of having a service committee, a group, a body that talks about service opportunities. And if someone in the city wants to find a way to serve, we have a city committee or a contact person that can direct people towards service opportunities. That was his idea and his question and request for me. And the other one is I've had a resident ask about recreation committees. As we get Bingham Regional Park coming on and other parks coming on, the residents are asking, how do we get to engage in this? And so at this point in our city, to me, I see we have two functioning good committees, the senior committee and the historical committee, or the arts council, right?
And we have a historical committee.
Historical committee, the senior committee, and the arts council. I would like to consider if we have room for others.
So there is a service, 211, that allows people that both need service and want to provide service to get matched up with each other. So that actually already exists here in the county.
In the
Just
county.
A lot of people don't know about that. But if you want to provide service, you can work with them. They can hook you up with projects. Or if you have projects, they can also get you hooked up.
So 211, you dial that?
And then also Just Serve exists as well as a way to match people and projects.
Yep. Totally. There are a lot of projects in our area that people can jump on and sign in to participate in.
As far as the recreation committees go, Bingham Creek Regional Park has a board. That would be a decision of that board. If they wanted to create that, that wouldn't be a decision of the city. But we can look at other programming type areas and see what might be appropriate.
I guess specifically I've had a few people reach out to me frustrated with the pickleball accessibility in Highland Park. It's so in demand that people are going again and again and again and not being able to play because people have figured out how to dominate the courts. And that's unfortunate because it's only been there a couple of years. So there's a challenge there. I don't know how we as a city want to address
it. I'm not sure that a committee solves people behavior problems.
There's other cities that have pickleball rules that are more followed. Our city's not following the rules that are posted. Or the people that are at the courts aren't. Anyway, it's an issue. We could talk about it offline. Okay. But I'm hearing feedback from people that are, frustrated because the same groups are dominating and they have a system of how they get in there and get the courts. So something to think about, and let's see if we can help out. And thank you, Mr. Luce. And last but not least, another resident asked for how can they, as development's happening in the southwest part of our city, the west side of our city, I should say. There's buildings going up, commercial going up out by Smith's. There's some things going in. And one of the residents reached out to me and said, Tamara, how can we get updates? Where's a way that they can get updates of what's being built? He got word that there's a Quick Pack car wash, which I didn't even know. And he said, what's the building next to it? And I'm like, don't know. So is there a way that you can help me help them, or is there someone I can hook them up to if they are curious about what's coming? As things continue to develop on the west side of our city, there's residents that live out there that are asking for updates so that they know what's coming. So, and we can talk about that again. Those are some of the comments I was going to bring up in the last session. So those are my comments. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. McGuire.
Since our last meeting, I attended the Scarlet Pimpernel production that the Arts Council is sponsoring, and just encourage anyone to go out and get tickets for that if they haven't seen it yet. Also attended the fireworks show at Glenmore Golf Course, which was a great community event. And then, as kind of alluded to in our previous meeting, myself and the chair of the Bingham Creek Regional Park Authority met with Doug Young to discuss some park ideas that he had. And that's everything, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I only sent and just a couple of pictures, and I don't know what order they're going to come up. Okay, so the Show Up for Teachers Conference. First Lady Abby Cox, part of her initiative as First Lady, is to be supportive of teachers. And the Show Up for Teachers Conference, it was the second annual one. I was invited as a friend to education, and you all know that that's kind of my background and what I did before this, and what I still continue to do. And I was able to join with thousands of educators from across the state of Utah at this conference. Arthur Brooks came and spoke, and, you know, he's, you know, Arthur Brooks, right? Yeah. Like, he goes without introduction. He is amazing and brilliant, and it was just really a treat to see him. We heard from the governor and the first lady, and there were so many great breakout sessions, and it was really a treat to get to be there and to talk to so many of the teachers who live in our city. There were quite a few there, and it was fun to get to talk to them and visit with them and see other friends who are just really supportive of education here in the state of Utah. So that was a fun day. We had a very unique council of mayors. It's the first time in the time that I've been mayor that the mayor of Alta hosted our council of mayors meeting. And so we went up to the town of Alta, and they didn't have a municipal building large enough to host this group in the town of Alta. So we met under a pavilion that the town owns outside, and it was absolutely lovely. So these are mayors from across Salt Lake County. The mayor of Alta is the one with his arm around me. If you go back, he's the gentleman with the blue shirt and the hat on, in the blue shirt. So we've got the mayor of Sandy and Mill Creek and West Valley and Alta and Midvale and Bluffdale and Holiday,
West Jordan.
Harriman, West Jordan, and Draper, and me in that picture. That was from the Show Up for Teachers Conference. This was leading up to the Barbie movie coming out, and the Larry H. Miller Company had a display. They were one of the sponsors there. There was a huge display area. Anyway, they brought that box, and so a bunch of us, you'll see the first lady in that right there, a bunch of us climbed in, and they said, let's take your picture. So we all, you can tell we're kind of laughing in this Barbie box going, okay. So that was a treat. So I met with all of my fellow mayors, and actually we did some really important work that day, both at that meeting and then at our COG meeting following that, where we approved unanimously the winter overflow shelter response plan for Salt Lake County per the statute in House Bill 499 from this last year. And there's still a lot of work to be done on that. It's a lot of work. But I have to applaud the mayors of Salt Lake County for coming together and doing what's never been done before in a way that's never been charged to us to do before, and for paving the way for next year when Davis and Utah County will have to do the same thing, and we will have done the heavy lifting to figure it out. So a lot of good work happened there. Had the chance to attend the Scarlet Pimpernel on opening night. That was very well done. Fantastic. I also attended the South Valley Chamber Barbecue and made it there toward the end. They took a picture, and I don't have a copy of it. I don't know. And the Junior AGA golf tournament last night at Glenmore, and again, that's the picture that didn't go through, but anyway, we had a great time being there and visiting and seeing these outstanding golfers that just, I can't even wrap my head around how good they are and what they do, but it was really a treat to be there, and it's so significant to have this event in South Jordan and appreciate Glenmore Golf Course and everyone associated with it for their work to make that happen. Wanted to pass along just a note. All the rest are just regular meetings, all the things, but wanted to just make mention of the passing of such a notable member of our community. He's been here for a very long time. Otto Jones has passed away. And my understanding is that Mr. Jones did not necessarily want a formal funeral, but they're doing a celebration of his life, I believe, on Thursday at the Jenkins Sylph Mortuary. So wanted to let you all know of that and send love and condolences to the Jones family on behalf of the city. They've been here a long time, long time. So anyway, passing that along. And that is my report. So before we move on to our public comment period, I'd like to recognize Representative Susan Pulsifer, who's here with us, and say thanks to Brad's family for being here. Thanks for coming. You can go check out our night out against crime. You could dunk the police chief if you want. You have to throw the ball, but he gets dunked a lot, I understand. Anyway, Representative Pulsifer is here with us. Susan, we appreciate you being here and wonder if you have anything you'd like to share before we have public comment. Is there anything you'd like to address? Representative Pulsifer represents a large portion of our city in the state legislature, and she's an outstanding leader who works so collaboratively with us. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And I really don't have anything specific to report or to bring to you except just to tell you thank you. I love to represent South Jordan. I love the great work you do. I feel like I should have brought my the pictures off my cell phone so I could report on what I've been doing the last couple of months. But anyway, thank you so much, and I love to work with all of you. I even had the opportunity to be in a meeting with your attorney, and he does great, great work, and just it's an honor and a privilege to represent South Jordan and to work with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks. Okay, we're now going to open our public comment portion of this meeting. Anyone who is here in person that would like to speak will turn to you first, and then we'll go online after that. As we always say every meeting, we are very proud of how we do things here in South Jordan because we make a commitment to all of you of respect, and a civil discourse is what we do here. We can disagree without being disagreeable. We're all here because we love the city of South Jordan, and we would like to get the right things done for this city. We may not see those exactly the same, but we will work together to get there and be respectful in the process. So anyone here in person that would like to speak, you are welcome to come up now to the microphone. Please give us your name and address for the public record, and everyone gets 3 minutes to speak, and the time is now yours. Not yet, huh? No one? Okay, is there anyone online that would like to address the council? If so, please turn on your camera. It doesn't look like it. Okay. All right, we will close the public comment portion of this meeting and go to our amended item G1 as we amended the agenda a little bit earlier, and we will... Do we need... Mr. Schaefermeyer, would you like to get up and kind of reintroduce, or Mr. Luce, where would you like us to pick up where we left off?
I would do a little summary for the public.
By way of note, this is a continued discussion from our previous meeting. Go ahead.
In where I saw it left off, as far as my understanding, is that presentation was made about the proposed development area, and it was council discussion, deliberation, or questions for the developer at that point. But I think it's however you want to do it, Mayor, if you'd like to have the developer up, if he wants to wrap something up, or Mr. Schaefermeyer.
And is there a specific question you need answered, Mr. Schaefermeyer?
So when this was initially, so the PD floating zone, the plan development floating zone, after application requires that the developer come to the city council in a study session. They did that once before. They didn't show you a plan that was as detailed as what was shown tonight, and the parameters of density and other things were different then than they are now. Even the location of U111 was different. So over the course of the past, I don't know, 9 months, or I think they came to council in November last year, kind of around there. So since that time, there's a lot that's changed, both in terms of their vision for the property, as well as, again, the location of U111. The property is master planned, and our general plan is mixed use. So we anticipated that this would have a variety of uses on the property. Historically, it's been kind of up in the air of what could even go on the property because of the nature of the remediation that had to take place and that has apparently taken place. And so that's sort of the background of why then we came back tonight. Again, there was enough that had changed, both in terms of their vision for the property and some of their requests. And so we can contrast those maybe... you know, at the beginning of their presentation during the study session, you saw the bubble plan that you saw back in November, and now you've seen the update of that. So in terms of what we're hoping to get is, are they headed the right direction, and what concerns or issues or desires do you have for the property? As I've explained to Mr. Young and his group several times, my main concern is that the vision that you see and that the public sees is enforceable from our standpoint. We've learned a lot with Daybreak in terms of timing of commercial uses versus residential, what 5 units per acre across a large area can look like. That can look like a variety of things. And so as we've talked about this property, which is much smaller than both the Annex Cannot Cot property and the Daybreak property, but in some ways we've treated it somewhat similarly in terms of the concept of providing them some flexibility, but nailing down certain benchmarks in terms of when commercial comes online, units per acre, expectations for open space, some of those same issues that we think about when we look at a larger master plan community are applicable in this case. And so we just need a bit more guidance that either they're headed in the right direction or not. And as I said, I saw the same presentation that you saw just today. So staff hasn't had a chance to go through any of these revisions. They have submitted, and we still need them to submit electronically the actual changes to their design guidelines. And that's where really the rubber hits the road with these developments, is do what is shown to the public in terms of a vision, how much of that is actually enforceable, and what's the lowest common denominator that could be developed. And so understanding your expectations for the property and helping Doug get a little more feedback on the vision, but then on some of those specific issues would be helpful.
Okay, so if this council were to deliberate and have a conversation, which we will, and then to say, well, we think you're headed in the right direction, but bring us more refined information once you guys all have the chance to work together on some of what those are, you know, based on what was brought forward today, right? And digging in and doing what you do as professionals by getting more granular, right? Is that adequate?
Yeah, I mean, we have come back to you on some of these projects more than twice in a study session to understand expectations. And those are very small projects compared to this one. We have gone over what a public hearing schedule could look like through the end of the year. But they, both staff and I think probably the developer, would have to come away feeling really positively about the direction this is headed. If there's a lot of items that need to be addressed in your mind before you can get comfortable having any sort of discussion about you know, public hearings and through the approval process, then we probably need to bring it back to you again in the study session. In a study session or in this setting even. So that's kind of, I think, some of what I'm looking for. Could this go to a public hearing in September? It could. We could go to the Planning Commission. We could work on a development agreement. But there have been enough moving parts with this project that I'm not there yet. I don't know if the developer is. So that's the kind of direction that we're hoping for.
Okay. I think we need to understand the specific asks. Like what different asks are we even talking about? Because I don't know that we really got that far.
Right.
Right?
I think maybe the developer, Doug,
maybe we ought to put up that bubble plan again and kind of start there. And
I don't think we need to redo it all, though.
Talk from that place.
We can.
I don't know if they have that.
They probably don't. We'd have to see if Corey could bring his laptop up and pull up the bubble plan and maybe help us understand. Mr. Young, if you want to come on up.
Doug Young, Salt Lake City. I think it really boils down to a couple things. As we've been able to work with the property, we just had a much bigger vision when they changed that U-111. And really what the ask is does the city council want to have in the initial presentation a continuation of a Daybreak type project on both sides of U-111 with housing, small houses with townhomes. It's kind of a mixture that they have all the way around us with kind of a trail system that goes goes through it, kind of an open spacey? Or do they want a city center with, you know, all types of commercial? The density difference is about 3 units to the acre that would be needed in order to create the housing that we would need around the commercial center to make it viable and successful. And I think that's really what it kind of boils down to, what the council would like to see in that area. Our vision is to do an amazing park here, an amazing retail center, and carry the same vision that we've had in Glenmore right into this project here with a modern timber architectural look, and be able to have Stephen Scheffermeyer enforce it. And I think that, you know, with those key components, the connectivity and et cetera, you know, we just have a bigger vision for this property than what was initially laid out when it was when we had U-111 clear to the west side of it. It would have been just easy just to kind of continue it right on up. But this is so much more viable for the city of South Jordan, honestly. I mean, this is not easy to do. You know, when they sold Daybreak, I mean, the first thing they did was to make money. They just started selling single-family lots and townhomes and just start. It just like that. That's the easiest exit strategy. This is not easy. This is as hard or harder than a golf course. So this is not easy. This takes a lot of effort, but we've done the economic studies. They tell us that as soon as that road is in, we'll accommodate a large retail center there, and it will accommodate a store. We know that this project here, as it sits now, will generate over $1.6 million in tax revenue to the city. We know that it's 8 miles away from all the car lots. We know that car dealerships and et cetera can come up here. We know that undoubtedly the new U-111 is going to turn into a road similar to the Bangor in the future. And we know we sit right in the middle of all the new annex property. And we know that this is the new city center for South Jordan on the West Bench. That's what the things that we do know. And we absolutely know with this park going in and the pickleball and the different things we can all team together on, that we can accomplish this, just like we've done with the Equestrian Center or Glenmore or everything. We just work together with your amazing staff. And what I would like to see is, and really the question is this what you envision for the city, something of this nature, or would you like to revert back to the single family and some townhomes? And I mean, that's really the question. I mean, do you want a subdivision or do you want a city center? And that's really why we changed directions. And that's really why I'm so excited about this now. It's so much more than what we initially talked about. And we felt like we need to come back. And Mr. Scheffermeyer thought the same thing. And so that's really the question that's posed. So.
Oh, you had questions? Okay. Go ahead.
Mr. Marmer, either Mr.
way.
Shelton.
Either way. So, Mr. Young, where on this map were you envisioning, if there were any car dealerships that you were able to
sure.
bring in, where would they be? Because I seems like it's almost turned a bit since we saw it last.
Oh, there you go. Look at this, man.
Right there.
There okay. you go. Okay. That's why we put in that area there, future development. Because we honestly believe that U-111,
right? Yeah.
It's going to go up like that, but this is going to be another major intersection, and it's going to tie into the old U-111. So that's going to be another intersection over there. I thought to talk to Daybreak about leaving a little commercial right here, but I didn't want any competition. So I said, don't. I didn't say anything. But they're putting houses there, okay? So you're going to have plenty of houses, and but we'll have the trail system, and they'll be able to walk from there over to the retail center with our special tunnel that we'll put under U-111 that's going to be amazing, that'll tie all of Daybreak into this and walkable. You'll be able to buy a hot dog here, get on a bike, and ride it right up to Butterfield Canyon, and right from Glenmore, actually.
So So I guess my initial comments would be that I'm intrigued with the development and the opportunities. I really like the opportunity of enhancing some commercial, the type of commercial that you're envisioning there. I mean, there's a very positive tax base there for the city. I think there's going to be a lot of residents. They're going to need to, you know, everything from shop to eat, frequent some of those retail locations. So I think they make sense to me, and I think there's probably some logic to having a little bit more density in that area, from an apartment or condo or townhome, whatever you're talking about there. I know you're showing apartment community. I support a little bit higher density for all the things that have gone on and that has been changed and that you've contributed there. So I think that's at least an initial foray into my comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Shelton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Young, Doug.
Yeah.
that property to the west that has been annexed into South Jordan.
Yes.
May never develop.
Right.
Or it may be a very long time.
Very good point.
Yeah.
It will be a long time.
And so the question is, in my mind, is this viable if that doesn't develop?
That's why we put the density where we did, because we don't know when that other is going to develop. And that's why we needed the additional rooftops in that area so that this will be a successful retail center. That is a really good point. But I do know this. They are going to fix that intersection up there, and they are going to tie it into U-111, similar to what I'm showing you there. And eventually it will be developed, but I'm looking at this property futuristically. They tell me that I can put that U-111 in, and I can put a retail store in there. And so we're talking something that would be done in the next 5 years. And we doubled the commercial on this whole project, minimum. And that's like Daybreak's got a maximum, but not a minimum. We will come in with a minimum on it. And I'm absolutely confident, having the experience that I've had, you know, in the retail business. I assembled the land transaction for the CenterCal project. I did the Walmart retail. The people I work with, Ken Gardner and others, they've done, obviously the district and everything like that. Everybody's really excited about this because this is going to be the new West Bench. I've started developing land out here when the Bangor wasn't even sitting there, okay? We're talking about back in the 90s. But that's really a good point. But that's why we built it and designed it the way we did. So it would be sold.
So that it would be
viable. It will work, yes.
So the commercial would be viable even if that land to the west doesn't develop.
Right. And I would say that at least 50 to 60% of the commercial would be in there. And when Daybreak does go in on the other side of it, I'm confident that it'll pick up the balance of it, which is the other 9 acres to the other side. And everybody that comes up either 118th or South Jordan Parkway is going to have to travel through that commercial center. Mm. And it's on the right-hand side. That's why we put it there.
I'm interested in your areas of future residential development, which, of course, much of it borders Daybreak.
Yes.
So I assume you're going to blend that in and carry a similar feel.
Yes, you're going to have.
So it won't be distinctly different at that point, is that right?
Right. The only difference you're going to find is you're going to see a percentage of the homes and et cetera in a more modern mountain architecture.
Different architecture.
Yes. But we will have similar architecture. We will have the craftsmen that they have. We'll embrace
similar
that.
Similar type of density is what's
in Yeah, in those areas, similar yeah. types. And then you'll have the rear load products on any of these major, many major roads that are in here. And so you'll have a similar streetscape on any of the semi-major roads that we have identified there. Yeah. You will have in this area the all-ability homes and communities that will surround the school that we plan to donate here, the land we plan to donate for the all-ability school for the children that are 1 to 5. So literally parents, and you know this from raising your son, literally parents can live in a town home that facilitates a child, and you can literally walk not only to the school, but you can walk to this park here, which will have an all-ability component in it, and you'll be able to live right there. You'll be able to take your special needs child on a bike or a stroller and go right through and over to the commercial center. And it's all food and entertainment right now. Those are the topics. So we have a big vision for this, and I'd really love to work with the council. I'd really love to go forward with this vision, and then we can fill in the details. I believe we can confidently make Stephen Scheffermeyer satisfied that the things that we put in are enforceable and that people will be happy with this project, honestly. He's an attorney. He's different than the other planners I deal with in other cities, okay? He's not frou-frou.
That's
big
on
vision.
Purpose on our
yeah,
part.
He's,
yeah.
He's like this, okay? He keeps me in line, man. Okay, Doug, that really looks like a nice picture, but okay, now let me tell you where we're going with this, okay? So he's a hardliner, but you know, I'm glad to get him on the tail end of my life, man. So
that's a compliment.
Yeah, it is a compliment. So, but we'd really love to be able to go forward, honestly, and we want to get it done this year, obviously, we're excited about it, and we're just trying to do what's best for the community. Yeah. We're not, honestly, if I just wanted to make money and just cut and go, believe me, it's the easiest thing to do is houses and townhomes. So but honestly, this, you'll lose a lot of...
If you pursued this plan,
yeah,
we're able to do that, then we could... close out the put agreement on
right. Yeah, right. Yeah. And actually, yes, and transfer the units up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So are you looking for 8.5 units per acre? Is that
right?
I feel like I heard
the half really is the 72 or whatever units. So that's really
okay,
what it is.
So it's not so it's 8.5 plus
right.
72.
No, it's 8 plus the 72. Right.
Yeah. Okay. I may have some comments in a little bit, but those are my questions for now, Mayor.
Yeah, I have Mayor? A question, too. I don't know who's calling my name. That's like a voice out of Oz.
That's Jason.
Is that Jason?
Who said that?
I think that's Jason.
That's me.
Okay.
I've been elevated to a wizard.
Yes. Yes. Congratulations.
So I couldn't quite hear clearly on the density. Is Doug, are you asking for 8.5 plus the 72 units?
No, just the eight units, and then the
okay.
So it's 8.5 with the 72 units as well.
Okay,
it
with it already.
Right. Okay. Uh-huh.
And I guess I wonder about the long term, just market saturation. You know, we could open this up and we're the new shiny object that the restaurants want to come to. But then you're going to open Olympia. The CenterCal project will still be there. The Daybreak downtown will be going. I guess I'm just really concerned about market saturation as I look at this project.
You know, that's a really good point. Fortunately, I control most of those centers. You know, I control all of Olympia. I control this one. I control the ballpark stadium on 106. And I have a bigger vision for 106 South that I haven't brought before the board yet. But I'm going to orchestrate this. And we're going to make sure that this is a big-time success for the community. And I'm really excited, Jason, to work with you on this park and make this the most ultimate park possible on this in the South Jordan area out here. So we can create the housing here and the saturation. I can tell you people are coming from all over to this state. And we've got a little bit of a bleep with the interest rates right now, but it's not like it's not penned up. And this is affordable housing. You're going to have housing here for special needs kids. You're going to have some affordable housing here. Probably about 150 to 60 units in here are going to be affordable housing. So we're addressing that. We're addressing the special needs. This is going to be a community like you've never seen before, really. I can honestly say that. And the great thing is you've taken a piece of property that's worth absolutely zero and remediated it, something that's never been done anywhere.
Yeah, and I'm extremely grateful for that, Doug, because I, you know, before you stepped in, I just thought, yeah, that corner would just stay fenced off,
yeah,
you know, and be a toxic area.
Yeah.
I just want to say overall, I do think there is room for discussion about increasing the density. That whole corner's changed dramatically since we initially talked about it with the rerouting of U-111, the annexation. Yeah, I just feel like we do, as a council, need to take a fresh look at it. And I'll just leave my comments there for the moment.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I want to ask a question really quickly, if I can. I'm starting to get a little bit old, and so my eyes are trying to read the teeny, teeny writing.
Not the oldest one up here, so watch it.
I'm not, but I'm getting there. And now I'm looking through the bottom half of my glasses like an old lady.
Yeah.
I've never done that before.
There you go.
Okay, this is my new me. Yeah. And I'm zooming in, and I see this equals 19.17 acres must be a minimum of 40 developed units. Is that what DU stands for? What does DU stand for?
You're reading the charts on the bottom.
Yes.
Well, when we do a BRT, what they require is 40 units to the acre. Now, the HTRZ that you did for the Miller group is like 50 units to the acre. This is a BRT. But with or without the BRT, this is the density that we needed there in order to make this a successful project. But that's probably what that's saying, and that is what it's saying, actually.
Well, that's why I'm asking. I'm like, 40 units to the acre on 20 acres is...
It's actually, yeah. Well, you take the 50 acres, and it's like the HTRZ, which you have 100 acres, and you've got to do 49 of those acres at 50 units to the acre. So this, to be a BRT, needs 40 units to the acre, but that's why it averages out with the 8.5 units per acre. And so you put the higher density in here, just like they're doing on 106 South, Mayor, Mountain View Corridor, those apartments that are going in there, right there on that corner, that's 40 units the acre. That's what that looks like, just so you know. So these are high-rise type apartments where they're just 4 and 5 stories high, and they have insane amenities that go with them. But you have to put them right there on the property, because then if you have 700 or 800 units right there, that gives you about 3,000 people right there. And those people come and go, and that's what will make the shop successful. That's why Soda Row is so unsuccessful, is you've got an office building, and they bring their sack lunch. You have townhomes, but you don't have people living and commuting right there. I mean, Tamara can address this. Those little shops struggle. And you have to have a grocer. You have to have a grocer because people will go to a grocer 3 times a week. And so, you know, my economic studies, and we use the same people that we put the Winco in with, and that store does $50 million a year. It's like a small Costco. And so they tell me that that thing will do $700,000 a week. I believe it. And so this isn't just shot in the dark. I do all the studies and everything that needs to be done to make these successful, you know.
No, thank you. I can appreciate that. I have a couple other questions. First of all, who at UTA have you talked to about a BRT?
Well, who we talked...
Who's given a commitment from UTA?
Right. Well, let me back up.
Because that is something we have yet to be successful in.
That's right.
Any sort of commitment.
We can't even get a bus route.
Let
alone a BRT.
And Stephen Scheffermeyer pointed that out to me this morning. And I do have something to rebuttal now. Not rebuttal it, actually, just state. Think about what has happened here in the last 3 years. $80 million has come to realign U-111. When I met with UDOT, they said, Doug, how in the world did these roads even happen? It wasn't even on any drawing. It wasn't even a thought in anybody's eyes that that would happen. we have a commitment, and that $80 million is going in. That road will be started in 2025. And so I've talked with Brad Wilson, and, you know, he has a big vision for this Southwest Quadrant. And I know that you know him, and he says it seems very viable. Now, we want to do a BRT here, so it'll funnel people, and the state doesn't want the same problem to happen that's in Big and Little Cottonwood Canyon. They want tracks, they want transportation, and they finally quit forgetting about the Southwest Quadrant. And a lot of that push, when I talk about South Jordan, everybody loves South Jordan, and it's real easy to talk to Brad Wilson about South Jordan. And he is UDOT's boss. And what can I say?
Until probably September.
Yeah. And UTA, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And UTA is, you know, is under the direction of UDOT. And so UDOT, or UTA is really, doesn't have a lot of, they take direction from UDOT, who takes direction from Brad. And so I use his name very lightly, but I know that he loves this area, and I don't like dropping names like that, but you asked me a direct question. But I'm absolutely confident we're going to get a BRT here. And I know we'll get one in Olympia, too, because I want to circulate this traffic down to the ball stadium and the special fine arts that's going in down there, which we got moved out of Riverton, and I know with your help, obviously. Is Trent Staggs on the line?
He's so, on his way over.
Okay. Yes, we got it moved out of Center Cal to South Jordan. And I mean, this is a trophy. Glenmore's a trophy. The Equestrian Center is a trophy and is becoming more of a trophy. This is going to be a trophy for South Jordan, and this will control the entire Southwest Quadrant. Even over Olympia, think of Olympia. It's out on the tail end. This is in the center of the valley. My circles show that this center covers the entire area, you know. So, I don't know, pretty exciting, I think. I mean, it'd be fun to do. If you guys can support us on it, we can go forward with this vision in mind. And, you know, of course, we'll have to go through all the approval processes and make sure you're comfortable with it. But I have three land planners that all want to bite their teeth into this. And you got a bulldog over here that's going to keep me in line. And so, you know, we're hoping to go forward on it and get this done this year. So.
Go ahead. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. I have a few questions. You talked about the special needs school.
Yeah.
You circled the area where the car lot might go. Where would the special needs school go?
Okay.
Just I know this is high level.
Oops, sorry. Oops. I touched something. Sorry. Okay. right in this area here.
Okay, so
that they'll be able to walk out of the classroom and go in, and we'll develop a special all-ability park there. And then they can also go underneath the bridge there that we'll all need to lobby hard for right there and get over into the commercial center. But it's an absolute must, and it's part of the Bonneville Shoreline Trail system.
Okay, so with the special needs park, special needs school, have you got any kind of a nod from Jordan School District that they're on board with this?
I just had a preliminary discussion with Scott Thomas about it. And, of course, we did the Kari Sue Hamilton School, and we did that, and it was very successful.
Yeah.
And so I mentioned this because I became aware of the need for children 1 through 6, and I said, Scott, would this be a good thing in this area? And he mentioned to me that it would, and it would be very helpful. And it's what we want to do. And believe me, when you start giving not only land but money to facilities like this, they come, and that's what happens. Well, and these kids are darling.
Yeah, your Kari Sue School is
yeah,
a gem.
It is. And we want that gem in South Jordan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
a couple more questions.
Yeah.
When you say you want this done this year, what does that look like, that this whole thing is developed in 2024? Or you want to have the development?
Yeah, I wanted
2023.
Right.
So because you want to see approval in 2023.
Correct. Yeah, I just want, well, I have this council that we've all been working together for so long, and I know some of you are retiring, then, I mean, you know, I just thought it'd just be nice to all work together. We've worked together so well on everything, the Equestrian Center, the Glenmore, this, and this is really, that's what I was hoping for.
Okay, another question if I could. Yeah. You talked about 150 to 160 affordable units. Did you intend those to be owner-occupied or rented?
We have a process that makes owner-occupied available to affordable housing. And those are some of the details that I can share with you.
Okay.
That are good. But we also have for rent.
Yeah.
Also. But we do have owner-occupied. And it's interesting that we actually create our own affordable housing without state subsidy that I would like to share with you. And that would be some of the process that we'd be going through.
So if I could, just one more question,
yeah.
I think. At this 8.5 units per acre, I'm just going to repeat what Mr. McGuire said. That does include the 72 units transferred
right.
from Glenmore. You talked about the rental project that's up further into Daybreak, and you said that is about a 40-unit per acre
right.
project.
Uh-huh.
And you said that would be what this would look like. Because you're doing commercial, we'd have higher density housing outside of the commercial.
Well,
it would look kind of like that. How much of this would look like that?
Well, it would look, ours is going to be more of a nicer look than what's there. Do you know what I mean?
So would all of this, okay, I know you're going to do a car lot, but I just need to wrap my head around, are you going to stagger that density? Obviously, the more dense is going to be closer to the commercial.
So
are you
going to
stagger out, or is it going to be a complex of high density?
You're going to have, it's going to be, as you can see here on this project, it's really intermingled. So you have some here, you have the retail here, some of the higher density here, and you're going to see it more blended into the community rather than just, okay, here's your apartments and here's your, you have to kind of entwine it. And that's why it's hard to identify exactly commercial. We know where the traditional commercial will be, but we have to tie the commercial to the density. I'm sitting here showing you with my hand. I'm not really showing you, but
can you? I think you can write on it.
Yeah, I can write on it. So you have this type of. Can you blow that up right there?
I can try here.
There you go. Yeah. So see what you have here is you have this property here could have a little bit of underneath. Retail, right here. But this also enables you to cut these things off right here and create this theater-type park area here for markets and et cetera. The grocery store, yeah, you have your traditional, regional draw here, but it also has the patio out here where you can buy a sandwich in here and come out here. You see what I mean? And so it all intertwines together. You still have some traditional pads on the outside, but this is this 50 acres, which is this area, all that area right in there, you'll have about 700 to 800 units right in that area there. Those are people that are right on top of that stuff. And then here you have 418 units, and this is more of a garden type park under.
So, if you could zoom back out.
Yep.
And I know we need to get into, I'm getting.
Yeah, it's okay.
Outside of that 50 acres that you just showed us,
uh-huh.
then these brown patches, they would not have that kind of density. They would be
no.
more.
Yes.
Okay.
Townhomes. And in fact, when we butt up against Daybreak, we have a trail that goes clear across our whole property. We pick up every trail they have and sends it right to our big park here. Every trail they have, we get them all. And it'll be lighter density in there. But there'll be townhomes, for example, around the special needs school that will accommodate young couples that have children, but they can accommodate a fully ADA place for their.
My last comment is you've demonstrated to this council in several different locations your intentions to do good, and I appreciate that. And I came to this meeting really uncomfortable,
yeah.
And I I see some of your vision, and I appreciate what you're trying to accomplish here. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tamara.
Go ahead.
Yep. Hello, Doug.
Hello, yes.
So I just want to get better understanding on the number of owner-occupied units versus rental units. So do you have about an approximate break? I see the garden apartment community is 418 units. But when you look at, you know, when you look at the whole area, what's the breakout you're looking at?
That's a good point. We haven't really determined that yet. There'll be a fair amount of owner-occupied in it, but there'll also be a fair amount of for rent product in here. I like for rent for a couple of reasons. I can control it. I can control who comes in, who goes out.
Are you going to keep those?
We would keep them.
You're going to keep the apartments and own them?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So I like to control them. The owner-occupied is very important, but the HOA and et cetera will be very strong. We will also adopt a program where when they sell the home, and we're just developing this now, where a percentage of that money will be held into a escrow or a committee that will reinvest in the community, similar to what Daybreak does. And so we want to preserve this long-term.
Yeah. Yeah. And then one thing I'd like to know, I mean, and I don't need to know right now, but eventually I just want to kind of get an idea of the density. You know, I mean, I kind of have a breakdown from your write-up on the 47 acres, and I can do the math on it to figure out what the density is on a portion of it. But, you know, as it gets to 8.5, what does it look like on these future residential acreages? I just want to—is that going to be closer to the 5.5, or what's that look like?
Well, you're going to have single family detached. It'll look similar to what you see in Daybreak,
okay,
where they do single family detached, they do some townhomes, and they—you'll have communities of that. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot softer.
Okay,
you're going to have more of a town center here. Well, not more of that will be the town center there. But that town center, once the other side of the street comes on, which, like Don said, may be a long time away, that will become one of the corners of four corners.
Yeah.
When Kennicott brings it on. So
okay.
if that answers your question. But, yeah, this will be a lot softer down here. We're fighting a couple of things. We have U-111. They want to put huge power lines down us. And so I'm having to deal with that. I had to deal with a condemnation of a substation, right? Power substation there. And I've got to deal with, and we made lemonade out of the lemons. I've got to deal with a power corridor that they want to put all down here, but they're going to allow us to develop. We're selling it to them conditioned on, of course, they're going to eminent domain us, but that we can do trail systems and et cetera underneath. And that's why it's so important to get the vision for this going forward right now. So.
Well, that's all the questions I have.
Thank you, Patrick.
I think you know that I chair the Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Yeah.
And I've been looking at the regional transportation plan. Just pulled it up to take a look at the maps because what I suspected I found to be true. And I can get better information. Like,
yeah.
I will do more homework and talk to Andrew and, you know, get better information. But at this point, there's not a bus rapid transit.
Nope.
Even in the regional transportation plan for
nope.
the next 30 years, and it's a process to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can make it happen unless it's approved from the Transportation Committee, which will not approve anything unless it's in the regional transportation plan. It's a process. That's what it takes to get things like that done.
Yep.
And so for me to, I'd like to have an additional conversation once we have some kind of a, like, WFRC is going to look at this again, and they're going to look at this specifically and do an evaluation and run the data to determine if this wasn't on our plan. But it, since it's a fluid document, the regional transportation plan, things can be added. And we have grown in such a way that we've had to add a lot of things to the RTP that weren't on it when projections were made, right? That's why it's fluid. So this is not it's not on there yet, but it doesn't mean it can't be on there, right? But I'd love to get Wasatch Front Regional Council to do the study. no BRT will happen no matter who wants it unless it's in the plan. That's how it works. The legislature can't fund it. It just won't happen. So I'd like to get some commitment from our partner agencies who oversee things like this and say, okay, we're going to take a look and run the evaluation and determine if a BRT can go there, and if so, when. Run the data based on, you know, what densities have already been approved, and then compare it to others, right? And figure out exactly what that looks like. Because I don't want us to make a decision on changing what we've already approved here based on, unless we get more commitments that what we're basing it on are actual, right? Can really happen. And that really does need to start with Wasatch Front Regional Council and taking a look at the data and then talking to UTA and all the partners, right? And also, like, I love the school idea, and I love, you know, I love Carisu Hamilton School, and I appreciate so much what you've done there. I'd love to get some feedback from the school district that, yes, they are going to put that on their plan, and they think they're going to do that, because right now that school is not part of their plan for out there. So I'd just love to know that, yep, they're on board with it, they get it. I mean, we work with all these organizations, but I think these are some significant decisions, changing the overall density when all of the infrastructure that's been put in place is based on what's already been approved. Everything that's been put in place is based on what's already been approved. Before we make decisions to change something like that, based on these really good ideas, I'd like to get a little more concrete. These can actually be a thing. And we've got the right partners paying attention to them and who also think we're going to run the data and you know, confirm it with that. That's kind of where I'm at with this. I'm not at all we're not going to have this conversation, but I'm not ready to lend my support to making changes to the overall density until we have gone through more of the process, because I feel like right now we would be making a monumental decision on something that we don't really know if can or will ever happen. And if it doesn't and we change the overall density, it could just be much denser without any of those other things that we want to have there that we think aspirationally could go there. But we need some kind of feedback and data and conversation and commitment from some of the other partners to at least look at that and also understand that that could really happen and that we can happen. So that's just where I'm at with that. So that's not a no for me. That's just I'd like to have more conversation, and I need more information about that because I know what it takes to get that done. There's more to take to get it done. And I'm not prepared to support changing the overall density that everything else has been based on until we know some of these good ideas can actually happen.
I think you made a couple of really great points. I think the regional studies and et cetera, and you're right, it's not on any maps. 3 years, it would take an enormous amount of time for that to even get on the map. I've designed something here that will be successful with or without the BRT, but I'm confident we can get the BRT, but I'm not hanging my hat on it. I think if the city would like to have a town center like this, these are the things that I need to make it successful. If you don't want to have that and you want to have a subdivision, I can do that. And I would be sad, but if that's what you want, there is no way that you will get satisfaction from any entity on that BRT. It takes time to do that. It's taken us 3 years to get $80 million approved on those roads out there.
I do know
that. That didn't just happen.
I do know that.
Okay, and so you will never get any satisfaction there. It's impossible. It takes way too long to get on the list that's there. I think what you're really thinking about here is there's an extra 600 or 700 units is what we're talking about. The infrastructure in this area will handle that. And we've already done the studies on that. So the infrastructure's there. It is a little bit different than what anybody envisioned here. No one envisioned anything here, because it was, you know, belching out gases out of this thing. It was a nightmare, right? And, you know, I mean, it's just like the state when they said, oh, yeah, we'll possibly help you on this, Doug, but they couldn't find a category to put it in, and so I just ended up, you know, doing it. But honestly, Mayor, if you want to see the 5.5 and you want to see a subdivision here, and if that's the direction of this council, then I will do it. I would be sad, but honestly, I can get that done a lot quicker, you know. But I don't like doing it like that. I mean, that's exactly what Ty did to Daybreak, and look what happened. I mean, honestly, a continuation of that is not my vision for the property. And I would just sell it to a Lennar or somebody like that and say, have at. You know what I mean? I mean, we'd have CC&Rs, and I don't mean to say it like that, but it would just be very disappointing. I mean, you know, that's all. It'd just be very disappointing. But I don't think I'll be able to get any satisfaction to you. And I agree with you. I love these other people. But we're talking about 600 or 700 units is what we're really talking about here. And that's what makes that center work, with or without the BRT.
I can appreciate the value of commercial anywhere, everywhere. Like, absolutely can appreciate the value of putting in commercial development. I don't think we get enough people that do want to put in commercial development, honestly, because housing is so easy. But there are a lot of factors being considered for this and a lot of things being pitched, actually, and proposed that this will be, that it might not ever be able to be.
Well, you got a bulldog.
Love to see that it could, but you're right, it does take time. I'd love to be able to take a look at the studies that have been done about the infrastructure, and part of that reason is because I live out here. I know what the impact 600 or 700 additional units, in addition to what's already there, in addition to everything else coming, means. That's where I drive. That's where I live. That's where I am all day, every day. So I know what this already feels like and what's coming. So it might not sound like that much difference to add 600 or 700 additional units to what else is already approved. But if you take the entirety, it is so much. I'd like to see the data that supports that the infrastructure can support it, just because I don't know that I know that, but I trust data, and I would like to, I'd love to, you know, be able to see that and understand that.
I wouldn't mind chipping in a few extra comments if you're going to go around again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when we actually had planned the entire Daybreak area, we were hoping that there would be a very tangible mix of commercial development. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. That hasn't been built out anywhere close to what we had hoped or envisioned.
Right.
I think some of that will happen, as we know, with the Larry Miller Group. I am very supportive of what we see here, because I think there is a good mix of commercial that's being added. I would hate to lose it. It's going to go somewhere else if we don't put it here. And I would feel badly that we missed out on that commercial opportunity. You know, if you don't put some commercial over there by the grocer that he's got and some of the eateries and things like that, then I don't know that the car dealership thing makes a lot of sense. And I think that mix really brings a lot to the table for the city. I'm comfortable with the 8 units. I think the other 0.5 is kind of an earn out, so to speak. Those have been earned from Glenmore, so I'm comfortable with the 8.5. I think Doug and his group, his team, going to have to go to bat and figure out how to make some of these things work. If anyone's done it in the past, Doug has. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate what's been accomplished by his vision and by his investment in the city. And so I appreciate that. That's kind of where I'm at.
Thank you. Mr. Shelton, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. And I have to say, Mayor, I do empathize with your concerns about the additional impact right at your home, on your front door. I appreciate that. I also appreciate what Mr. Young has done for our city. And frankly, I think the Corporate Citizens Award is laughable compared to what we ought to be doing for Mr. Young. You know, preserving Glenmore and turning it into what it is. I remember sitting across the table from you, and my first thing I asked you, Doug, is how can I trust you?
True.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that conversation.
Oh, I do.
But it's burned into my mind.
Yeah.
And you've proven that I can trust you.
Right.
And beyond, way beyond. the remediation of this property on your own dime, and then the things that you're doing for the high school. I mean, I appreciate that some of these things that you're showing us are in fact aspirational and not on a plan
right
already. I totally get that, but I'm at a place where I think 8.5 units per acre is acceptable, and I think that you can work with our staff and planning commission and so forth and create a plan here that will be really great. So
thank you for that confidence.
That's where I am.
Thank you. Do you have any comments?
Sure, yeah, a couple comments. You know, on the density, my comment on the density is I just want to make sure, and we don't need an answer today, but you know, as we, this is all kind of the same area as Daybreak and future annex properties can be annexed in from Rio Tinto, and so you know, as we kind of look overall, kind of what we want the density. I just, you know, understanding that you have the 72 acres that's coming from Glenmore. I just need to know from, you know, from Ryan and from else that, you know, we're not being arbitrary on how we're doing density, and that everything is on the up and up. And so that's, I just need to get that reassurance from our city staff to help me understand that part of it. And the second part that I have is just, you know, I think there's value in communicating, and I know you already communicate. I'm not saying there's not any communication, but with the Miller Group and others, you know, as you know, I mean, it's not too far from, you know, where, you know, the Miller Group is going to be doing, you know, with where the baseball stadium's going and some of the things that they're going to be doing. And it'd be nice if these things could, instead of being like separate and competing with each other, that they could complement each other, you know. And, you know, there might be some, you know, there is a couple things on there that look a little duplicative to me based on what could be in both, just based on certain, you know. And so we just, if you thought about, you know, communicating and find a way to be complementary and actually be more successful by just on concepts and ideas, or what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, thank you, Patrick, for asking that question. Their retail that they support, and from what I see and understand what's going in around the Bells Stadium, they will not be competitive with us. They do a totally different type of live, work, type commercial project that I've seen. And that's on the Mountain View corridor. And I'm really confident with the studies that we've already done that we will be successful in this location. Even though, as Don, Council Member Don Shelton said, the west side may be years before that comes. So we're always aware of what's going on around us, and we determine that. But I know I'm very confident with what we're going to do down there on 106, that there always is a little bit of competition, but honestly, there's going to be a lot of people move in the southwest quadrant, and so I feel very comfortable with the plan that we have here.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Doug, what's the density that was approved for Olympia?
We had 6.8. Uh huh. On it, and which time? Let's see.
Well,
9.2, then 6.8. But we fully plan on doing a BRT there. We want to connect this BRT tracks line, not tracks. We'd love to put tracks up there. We have the corridor widths and et cetera. Everything we plan for is to handle tracks and or BRT. And so we would like to loop the southwest quadrant up 118th with BRT. They won't like coming up South Jordan Parkway because of the roundabouts, or I don't know what they're putting in there. That's difficult. But loop it all the way up and around down 126. And so what we envision is a lot of bus routes out here to get up into the canyon, the Butterfield Canyon. And there's a lot of commitment to it. There's a lot of people that don't want, as I've said before, the problem they have in Big and Little Cottonwood Canyon. And the only way we can solve that is get ahead of it now. They won't even approve a BRT here unless I have the zoning in place. So it's, and so what I do is I just design it so that a BRT can go here in the future. That's the reality of it. They won't even look at it unless it's already zoned for it. You can't go and apply for a BRT unless the zoning's in place. And so, anyway, did you have another question?
Yeah, we have approved this council 8 units per acre on tiny, small parcels.
Right.
And I recognize that your parcel is smaller than Daybreak's, which is 5.5 units per acre. And I'm struggling with a few things. One, I think the commercial development is hugely important and valuable. I like that you've got a grocery store in there because that's not something that's slated in other developments that we've seen so far on the west side. We need grocery stores. I would say, like Patrick said, there's another piece of your development that looks like it might be mirror to something that maybe the downtown Daybreak is looking at. So I'd like to see you bring some collaboration there. I like what Mr. Shelton said. You've proven to this council that you've got heart and you're trying to do what's right by the city. And I think you can understand the uncomfortable feeling we have with this is a lot of density in a small area. And I completely concur that for you to get your commercial development to be viable, you have to have some density. I know that the downtown Daybreak is going to be far more dense than 8 units per acre to support what they've got coming and that area. And so as you taper out, I would ask, I guess I'm in favor of looking at this and keeping the conversation going. I really am. I would ask if you could potentially still maintain your commercial development but pare down on some of the density. I know you're going to push the numbers, but we're going to be the accountable people that the residents are going to come to. And so I'm really torn between, are my resident constituents, which that's my district, are they going to come to me and say, I'm so glad you brought a park and you bought connectivity and you brought trails and you got us to Butterfield and you got me a grocery store? Or are they going to come to me and clamor that we brought too much density? And that's the balance that I'm going to answer to my constituents. And so I'm sharing that with you because that's the pain point for me. I see the value in this. I really do. There's where I'm struggling.
Yeah, I totally understand. Okay. No, I totally understand. And this is your community.
Yeah. All of my district.
Yes, it is your district. And all
and it's where we both live.
Right. And I know I'm on your side.
We know you're sensitive to that. But yeah. I feel good about where you're headed. I would like you to maybe look at it again, see if there's some backing off to density that you can still make it work financially for you. And I don't know, I'm not a developer. I'm just sharing kind of where I'm coming to. I hope that helps.
Yeah, financially is one thing. I think I'm beyond that at this point in life. If this is going to be a success, I've worked this with 3 different planners in and out of state. I've tried to minimize the amount of density that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And if we can't do this and you're uncomfortable doing it, I totally understand it. And if the council feels uncomfortable doing it, I just can't have a successful retail center without what I'm bare minimum asking for. I didn't come in with, 12 or 15 or, weird numbers. Right. I've actually done the backwards work on this thing to see what I needed. And so,
and let me restate.
Yeah.
I have to vote and I have to be accountable for that vote. And you know that.
Yeah.
I love the idea of this commercial development. I love the idea of the tax base. I'm completely in favor of that. So if we were to do a thumbs up tonight, I'd say I'd like us to continue looking at this and tooling it and making it come together.
I think that's really what I'm asking for, just some direction. If we can get going down the path, I can hopefully answer the questions the mayor has on infrastructure. And obviously, it's just money that takes care of any infrastructure gap. Well, and so it's just, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, I'm sorry. I'm just going to restate what you stated. When Daybreak was sold to Varde, it was not good for any of us.
No.
And you hit the nail on the head. And I think all of us should remember they threw in housing units like gangbusters, and they made money, but it did nothing for our community. It did nothing for our tax base. It did nothing long-term for anybody. And so your point is absolutely correct. I've lived in Daybreak for 18 years, and I saw that shift when Varday stepped in and the leadership went that direction. It took no vision. It took no creativity. It took no planning. Right. So I appreciate developers like you that say, let's put something that's going to help with the tax base, that's going to bring some commercial development. I totally get that. Not at the level you do, but I understand that more and more. So I appreciate that, and for that reason, I'm in favor of continued conversations on this. Okay. That's my feeling.
Yeah. And I say sometimes, I say kind of thinking, I get frustrated because I don't really want to work on a project. I don't want to work on a project that would look like what they did there. And I guess that's why I flippantly said, well, maybe I guess I could sell it to Lennar or somebody like that. I guess you could do that, you know. But, I mean, obviously I would never let it become that, even though, I mean, I'd have CC&Rs in place and that would protect that. I said that kind of flippantly, and I didn't really mean to say that. But we would like to go forward with this vision, and I really honestly think over the next 3 months we can get you comfortable with the vision. And I think that with Stephen Scheffermeyer, we can enforce it. I think we can commit to certain acreages. We can commit to timelines on certain realistic timelines. I'm not going to over say, you know, we're going to do, a car lot today out here. I'm just saying Harriman's sitting over there on about 100 acres of ground that they're planning on a car lot, and they're at 5 miles. You have to be at 7 miles to do it. And all that I'm saying is when this West Bench goes in, it's not inconceivable. You got Gus Paul's Chevrolet. You got the Miller Group that's out there in West Valley. Those are some of the most very successful car dealerships. And so I'm saying preserve this ground for the future, you know, and I can get, I haven't met with the board of Jordan School District. This was just kind of a work meeting. This is our first glance at this. But I can tell you, with my work with Carson Hamilton School, I can tell you that's going to happen, you know, and that's going to be amazing. So, but I would like direction from the council to go forward. You know, just based on what I believe what we need here. And, you know, as we go through the approval process, we'll be able to hopefully justify that to you and your constituents. And, you know, I don't expect, you know, because we haven't gone to the first step of approval. But if you feel comfortable, then you'll be able to support it. And if you don't, then, we can talk about it and maybe there's something we can do. But honestly, I've really looked at it hard, Tamara, and council member Tamara. And we'd like to just go forward. And if I can get, and then I didn't know what Jason, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to ask.
Oh, are you? Oh, I'm sorry.
To weigh in next.
Yeah, I just saw his picture there. I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know if he was waiting.
Yeah, he's so. Waiting for probably his turn. Is. So, Mr. McGuire, would you like to give us your thoughts? You're on mute.
You probably like my thoughts better when I'm on mute.
No, we like you.
Should I go to the parking lot now?
No, you know, overall, I like what you're proposing. I think it will fit because the downtown Daybreak will overlap into the west side of Daybreak to some extent. But I really see the downtown Daybreak kind of filling more eastward as far as needs and demands. And so as that West Bench develops out, there's going to be a need for some type of additional retail center out there. So I don't think you're, you know, far off in what your vision is for the area. Do you know what your kind of calculated open space is at this point?
Well, it's going to be in excess of the 20% minimum. I can tell you that.
Okay, so.
In excess.
All right, so you are.
And it's, okay. And so, it's significant open space. This is good stuff.
Usable.
This is good stuff.
Yeah.
This,
natural grasses.
Yeah.
Well, it's not church parking lots.
Right.
So.
Right. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
So.
So I am a little bit more tolerant of a higher density. I'm still struggling, though, with going from 5.5 all the way up to 8.5. So if there was a way as you move forward, I know you said you've ran numbers and it seems that, you know, you need that 8.5. But if there's a way to just bring it down to 8 where we're kind of holding everyone else accountable at, I'd, yeah, appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
And I do have the same concerns that the mayor has about, you know, the infrastructure out in that area. So on that BRT, are you willing to preserve that right away, I guess, indefinitely?
Absolutely. Yeah, if we don't preserve it here, and I know I've had conversations with Kennecott, and they want to see it, and they are big players. And I think they can help us get this to the finish line. And they want to share a BRT route with us. And Olympia is preserving it already. 118th yep. South is 120 feet wide, and so is 12600 South. So it's already preserved yeah. down to Mountain View for either a Trax or a BRT. I mean, we already have yeah. it in place, and we're going to keep it here.
All right. Yeah, I'm in favor of us continuing discussions and seeing what we can, yeah, work together to accomplish. And that's everything, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire.
I just had maybe one additional thought, and that is, I mean, Doug owns a lot of property in that corridor. And if you think about it, he is not going to cannibalize. Actually, the word I thought of was bastardized, but I know someone's going to get mad at me if I say that. So I'll just say cannibalize. Doug is not going to somehow cannibalize in other areas his own project here. He's going to support it. He's going to build it out. He's already committed on the BRT right away. I mean, he's going to do it right. He's done it right in every other area, in every other way that we would have asked him to do, and probably gone way beyond. And so I think the point is he's not going to somehow go out and do other things that surround it that is going to minimize and cannibalize this project. I think that's important to remember as well.
Good. Any other final thoughts? Okay. To be clear, I feel like some people are kind of making the approach like trying to defend Doug to me as if I'm not his biggest fan, right?
No.
As if we're not, like, I'm
no,
like,
we understand.
To be very clear, everything that's been said about the work that you've done, you know I agree with that. Yeah. I hope you know.
I do.
That's not a question to me. What is a question is the BRT. That's a question. It is a very valid question because yeah. there's a lot that has to happen to make mm-hmm. that a thing, right? And I know that is what I do. So I'm like, I know what has to happen to make that a thing. And it's a lot of work. And time. You're absolutely right.
We have
that's
you,
a
Mayor.
Big list.
That's why I know the BRT
so,
will come. Okay.
I don't know. We're working.
All
but
right.
There's a lot of work to do on that, right? And so I know it's not a thing yet, right? But it doesn't mean it can't be.
That's right.
The same thing with the school. I agree with you. I think when you go talk to the school district and say, I want to donate land for this, whatever, they'll find a way to fit that into their plans
yeah.
because it is something that needs to happen in this fast-growing area. Could not agree more that we do need a retail area out west. We do. We are going to need that. The residents out there are going to need that. We need it for the balance of the whole city. We need it for traffic flow. We need that. I completely get that. So while there are definitely some things that I'm not sold on yet, only not that I don't think they're a good idea, but they're not a thing yet, right? They're
yeah.
pre-development phase, they're still ambitious, but they're just a concept, right? And so those are the things that I mentioned before. I'd like to see more information about that.
Sure.
I don't know if our staff has seen the studies that you've done or whatever, but I would love
sure.
for them to be able to see them if you'll share that or whatever. Maybe you already have, I don't know. But I'd love to know because we want to make good data-driven decisions. That being said, I think the commercial area out there, the retail area out there is going to definitely be needed. I mean, it's not even disputable. That's not even
right.
a question, right? We're going to need that. There's going to be a lot of folks, and we're going to need that. And it sounds to me like you've got the support of everyone. It sounded to me like everyone is supportive of saying, you know, keep moving forward toward this. One thing I'd like to clarify, if The looking forward is looking forward at an 8-unit to the acre density. I believe that's 8-unit to the acre with clustering available, right? So it can be clustered, but an 8 overall with an exceeds 20% open space, it sounded like to me, plus the 72 units. I don't think we classify that as 8.5. I think it's 8 units to the acre. And the 72 units is a totally separate thing.
We already
right?
to.
Right, that's a fair point. Completely separate. Yeah. So that's not eight. Part of how we calculate it. It's 8 units to the acre. I'm getting a nod from Mr. Luce. Is that correct?
Yeah. Excuse me, 72 units per acre was part of a development transfer.
No, 72 units total, not per acre.
Not per acre, sorry. 72 units per is part of a development, what do we call it, development transfer? Or yeah. And so it's already that's already there and allotted, though we didn't assign it exactly this property as Mr. Young didn't own this property at the time.
Right.
We will do that, and so that number is a part aside from whatever you decide is density. And Mr. Harris, do you want me to address your comment earlier?
Yeah.
Mr. Please. Harris brought up arbitrariness and stuff as you have different. Landowners in different densities and consistency. There's precedent as to what you're doing with large landowners, but to make sure we're all on the same page, Rio Tinto's property that was newly annexed in and the Daybreak development, both those developments are under the PC zone, which requires a minimum of 500 acres. We have also the PD floating zone, which is what this application is for. And in that zone, so both the other two in the PC zone are sitting at 5 units per acre, but in the PD floating zone, you have approved as a council that 8 units per acre range of density multiple times. This is certainly much larger, as far as I remember, Mr. Schaefmark, correct me, much, much larger than the other ones. I think the other big ones, maybe 20 acres, 15 acres. Yeah, just not even the same. But it is the same zone, and so I think from the standpoint of there's precedent and consistency that you have to talk to other developers about, but from a legal standpoint, do I feel comfortable we can defend this in this zone given what we've done in this same zone, the PD floating zone? Yes, as long as it's 8 units per acre. And that's really why I'm bringing the other ordinance before you later is that same consistency, which I'll talk about later.
Okay. Thank you for addressing that.
Okay, thank you. Well, we appreciate, it's miraculous, actually, what you've done on that land. Like, as you said, it's never been done in the history of the world.
It hasn't.
It's amazing what you
did. It really hasn't.
Did
you do a video of that? Just the thing of the...
The professor from Utah State, the EPA is having him write a book on this thing. This is going to be in colleges. It's never been done, honestly. And South Jordan was a big part of a remediation. I mean, saving the world. I mean... It had so much methane gas coming out of there, the people would have been complaining. It would have been a fenced-off area for the rest of its life if we hadn't gone in there and fixed it. But it was part of the original farm that I bought there, and I wanted to fix it. And now I just want to finish it. I just want to make this spectacular, really. That's really what I want to do. I want to finish this the right way. That's why I'm putting every possible component in here, from that school to the retail type center, to the park, to everything I want to do in here is my final legacy in South Jordan right there. And then Olympia, of course, the farm that I love, is my final legacy there. And so this is more about that. It's more about making it, it's more about the community than about me. I've already made my money. I don't need that, okay? This is really important to me. And obviously Glenmore is really important. It became important to me because it's really like this family. I can't even describe it. It's such a home-based feeling up there that everybody loves. It doesn't make money. It's there. But if it was gone, what a void it would leave in this city. Honestly, it's insane. Honestly, it's really amazing. I mean, I love it. And what Darcy does, oh my gosh. We had kids from China, yeah. Australia, Netherlands, and, you know, some of the resort things I need to do there will enable these people to stay there for tournaments. I mean, it's pretty amazing. But I love working with this staff. That's why I want to do it with you. So, and I'm confident Stephen can you know, put the checks and balances in place on this so that it's not like, oh, this is a beautiful dream, and then I go away. If I drop dead, he's got to make sure that it continues on, right? And so I'm sure he'll do that. He's an attorney, for Pete's sake. He knows how to do those kind of things. Okay. All right.
Okay. Is there any additional information you need from us? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And honestly, thank you for your time. I know you got other things to do tonight, but thank you for your time. And it really has been a joy working with all of you. Really. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think these were the most compliments Stephen's ever received in a council meeting today. So,
I'll add bulldog to bully, and what else have I been called?
They're compliments. They're yes.
Good. Yeah. I like that attorney is now a compliment. Yeah. I appreciate it, Mr. Harrison.
It's an IQ kind of stamp of approval.
Can I just ask a question for clarification? And that is, I didn't hear any of the council members' votes, like, being opposed. I know there were a couple of us that were fine with the density at 8, shall we say, 8 plus 72. Did we give Mr. Young a thumbs up on from a density standpoint, Mayor? That's what I'm asking right now, is did we just do that or not? I heard several voices that said, let's continue talking about this. I don't know that Mr. Young wants to continue talking about it unless he's given clear direction. And I don't know if he wants to say anything or Mr. Schaefer wants to say anything, but that's my only concern is, did we give enough clear direction or not? So I'm throwing that out.
Okay, I took the nods that I received from everybody as confirmation that that's where they were at, but it's a fair question. And we're not voting in this meeting, but if you'd like to each specifically thumbs up or not, that.
Mayor, I'm comfortable with the proposed density.
Of 8 plus the 72 units.
Correct.
I'm comfortable as well. So those were the two that I was talking about. And so I think we're kind of right where I want to know where we are on the density. I think there's a lot of things that need to be talked about. I agree with the other voices on the council that we've got a lot of work to do. I think Mr. Young's got a lot of work to do. I think staff's got a lot of work to do. But I think staff deserves knowing, and Mr. Young deserves knowing, are we moving forward on this, knowing that we've got other issues to tackle, or not?
Yeah. So my thoughts are, I mean, there's a lot that's changed here that I'm trying to understand and evaluate. I can't evaluate this whole thing that quickly and give a thumbs up or thumbs down, you know, on a decision. There's a lot of factors. I want to go back and I want to look at it. I'm probably going to be talking to, you know, Stephen. I'm probably going to be talking to the mayor, to Ryan. I'm probably going to reach out to Doug and have some conversations so I can, you know, get some more, as I chew on a little bit, get some questions answered. But I'll tell you, I'm not sitting at a no either. You know, so if I was sitting at a no, I'd just say it right now. But that's not where I'm at. But I do want to chew on it, and I do want to, you know, do a little bit more due diligence, you know, along the way. So that's, but I am interested in, I do think we do need commercial out in that area. I do recognize that, and so I think there's value. I do like conceptually, you know, a lot of the things on here. I just want to have some more conversations. So is that fair?
Yeah.
I like what Mr. McGuire said, and he said, is there any way we could bring it closer to the 8? And that's kind of what I voiced. So I'm not saying yes to 8.5, but
We're not saying 8.5. We're saying 8 plus the 72 units.
So I thought the 72 at least that's units
those were those are already earned.
Right.
So is that what it said? 8 plus 72?
8 units does not include the 72.
Right. But they're a separate thing, so they're not calculated in this.
I wrote in my notes that 8.5 included the 72.
It did.
Yes, based but since on the 72 are something completely different, we don't calculate those in. The 72 okay. is,
so without
whether
the 72,
it's 5.5, whatever, the 72 go on top of it.
Okay, so without the 72, we're at 8 flat. Is that clear? Is that yes? I'm not clear, but is that correct? Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's clear to me. I
would defer to... Understanding, Mr. Young said 8.5, including the 72, then clarified 8 plus 72. And okay. I haven't done the math to see if that is 8.5. But
I mean...
It's 8 plus 72 is my understanding.
Okay.
I think in the agreement, we would make it clear that there was 72 units from the Glenmore...
Yeah.
On this property, and then however else it's...
As a density.
But it's very clear to say 8 plus 72. It's a little more... Yeah, the 8.5 includes 72. That's a little harder to...
Let's make it clear.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm comfortable moving forward. I really look forward to hearing, as we keep progressing, more details. Everyone in our city is going to love this connection of bike trails to the canyon, and future generations are going to benefit from this. So I'm very in favor of not only the commercial tax base, but this connectivity is huge for me. So thank you. Okay. That's my thoughts. Yeah.
Mr. McGuire?
I'm good with the 8 plus 72.
Okay. Then that's the direction.
I think that's definitive.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks for your time. Thanks for staying all night. Thanks for hanging out with us. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
See you later, Mr. Stevens.
You probably will.
He's famous.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys. All right, item H is an action item. H1, resolution R2023-38, providing notice of a pending land use ordinance to amend the planned development floating zone in section 17.130.050. We're going to turn to Mr. Schaefermeyer for this.
we can talk about the motivation behind this. I'll wait for those questions. I'll just tell you what this does and doesn't do. The purpose of a pending land use ordinance is to put the public, potential developers, landowners on notice that we are looking at changes to our ordinance. It doesn't effectuate change at all. If you pass this tonight and a developer came and submitted an application for a PD floating zone, it would be under the understanding that this is the direction that we're headed. So it gives us 6 months to study the issue, to have the conversations with you. We have just had enough experience, and I said I wouldn't get into the motivation, that led us to this point to try to put some clear guardrails around the PD floating zone, the planned development floating zone. In addition to this, we plan to bring forward a proposal for an RM7 and an RM8 zone. So if somebody just wanted to come in and do residential without the special nature of a PD floating zone, that zone would be available to them. You could do that by development agreement. You could have some of the same conversation, but there would be more. We would be starting from the confines of a code, which is what we don't have now, which has caused a lot of trouble and heartache on staff side and on developer side and back and forth. So when I say the confines of a zone, I'm talking minimum acreage for open space, parking requirements. Some of the things that you have consistently required of developers, we would put into that zone. So you'd still have the tool of the PD floating zone. It would limit the density to 8. And then you would have the RM7 and RM8 zone as another option if there's no mixed use, if there's no special circumstances, no requirements to change and loosen or add requirements to the zone. That doesn't mean that you couldn't require at that rezone some sort of a development agreement. Again, tonight's vote doesn't make any of those changes. It just puts applicants on notice that we're studying it and that if they apply tomorrow, they could be subject to those changes.
Could I ask a question? Sorry.
Go ahead, yeah.
And Ryan's here to answer any strictly legal questions, sorry.
These gentlemen are standing because their watch is saying it's time to stand. So is mine. I'm like, I gotta move my arms or something. We gotta move. I know. It's time to stand. Everybody's welcome to stand.
We're standing out of respect.
Yeah. And because your watch said it's time to stand. Go ahead.
Thank you. So one of the things you just said is it's giving people notice that we're studying this. Mm-hmm. We're not coming up with an answer tonight. We're not having it dialed in. We're just saying, let's look at it and study it. So if I were to vote in favor of this, it's saying, yes, I want to dive in and study.
One thing that it takes off the table is if tomorrow I had, and I can think of several pieces of land where we could get a PD floating zone application. If they applied tomorrow, we take this argument of, I'm going to try to push the council above 8 units per acre off the table. Okay. Now, in the end, if you don't make any changes, they could wait it out, or they could try to get their project approved in the meantime at 8 units per acre.
Or they could also propose to you through a text amendment their own zone at 9.5, which requires XYZ and stuff. I mean, it doesn't take more off the table from your consideration completely. You're the legislative body, just like if we are pushing an agenda at the legislature, we may draft a legislation for a legislator and try to find a sponsor and try to get it passed. Mm-hmm. They could always do that. You are the legislative body. You can run an ordinance. You can change a zone. What it does is give staff certainty, more certainty that when they sit down and someone comes in asking for this, that 8.5, and do we count the commercial, and do we carve out this little section of the parking lot, and you know, and notice we put not just that in there, we also put things like we're going to look at setbacks and heights and other things that are more typically found in the zone. We're looking at all of those things because, I mean, if all of us have to sit through another meeting where someone's describing roof pitches and height and they're, you know, years of doing roofs and what roof pitch you can walk on, we might not live through it. So it's a matter of, do you remember those meetings?
And, I do, yeah.
Yeah. It's a matter of giving them more certainty and you more certainty. So we're not negotiating things that are easily addressed in statute, in an ordinance.
That answers my question. Thank you.
And, you know, we would work at a staff level and then work through planning commission and then come to the council with a text amendment.
And we have a great planning commission that's been through a lot of this, too, because they've seen these go through while they haven't negotiated the agreement. They've seen them. So they can screen out a lot of it. So it gets to you as a pretty complete thing for your consideration.
Anyone have any additional questions? All right, seeing none, this is not a public hearing, but you do need a vote from us to approve this resolution.
Yes.
To bring forth notice of a pending ordinance.
Yeah, and very technically in the statute, it doesn't say how to do it. We've done 4 or 5 of these, and we've always taken this route to be as public with it as possible. Notice this was in the packet on Friday. If a developer or someone had issues, they could have reached out. So this is a very open process.
Okay, thank you. All right, if there's no more questions, I will ask if there's a motion. We'll have the opportunity for discussion, but is there a motion on Resolution R-2023-38, providing notice of a pending land use ordinance to amend the planned development floating zone in Section 17.130.050?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve Resolution R-2023-38, as you stated.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. Any additional discussion to this? Okay, seeing none, all in favor of approving Resolution R-2023-38, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. Thank you. I will now ask for a motion to recess this City Council meeting and move us to the Redevelopment Agency meeting.
So moved, Mayor.
Thank you. All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Welcome to the City of South Jordan Redevelopment Agency meeting. We have a public hearing now. Item I-1 on Resolution RDA 2023-05, authorizing the chair of the board to sign the South Station HTRZ participation agreement. We'll turn to Mr. Brian Price, our director of city commerce, for this one.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
We are the board.
Thank you.
Not
Already.
Okay, I made my mistake I was going to make, so now it's all smooth sailing from here. Okay, thank you, Madam Chair and board members.
Thank you. It's late.
Okay, first of all, I just want to talk about what we're here to do and what we're not here to do. Start with not. We're not here to approve or disapprove the HTRZ. We've already done that. We've had public hearings in the past. We've done that. The HTRZ was officially approved by the body that the state statute designates. So there were members, as you'll recall, those of you who were there, there were members of the legislature, there were members from the county, there were members from the school board, from all these different groups. They approved the plan that we put together along with, and I'm going to tonight refer to them as the participants, our partners, developers, whatever you want to call them, but under this agreement, they are the participants. So what it does do is set forward an agreement between the redevelopment agency. Now, remember that an HTRZ is actually a city, a designed city, with the ability of the city to assign the management of it to the agency. We did that last meeting. So that's why this agreement's between the agency, the redevelopment agency, or the agency and the participant. So back in March, we had that approval. Now, some might not believe, and you know, we've been working on this agreement, and more, you know, obviously when you get deadlines, you work faster and harder, but it actually took us 18 months to get the agreement done on the Daybreak Commerce Park CDA and the South Station CDA. So we did this in lightning time. Even though for some it was not nearly fast enough. But what and as a reminder, what the HTRZ does is it defined an area with, what is it, a half mile, because we're in a larger plan development. We worked on getting that law changed, as you'll remember. It will take for up to 30 years, that will be the period of the HTRZ that it exists, and during that period, each parcel can the tax increment from each parcel for 15 years of that 30. So if it was day one on day 15, that tax increment comes back to all the taxing entities. The 80% is what is by the statute. So there's 80% of the tax increment goes to the project. And 20% goes back to the taxing entities. Now, it's different than the way we do a lot of them. When we do the RDA project areas, they a lot of times we'll get 100% of the taxing, and then we'll remit 15, 20, 25% back to the taxing entities. In the case of like the Merit Medical one, we now get 100%. We keep 70%. Then we distribute that, you know, to Merit Medical and other, you know, administrative costs that. And 30%, we write a check to each taxing entity and give them that that pass-through money. Now, in some ways, it's nice because they actually, you know, a lot of taxing entities like that because it doesn't count against their certified tax rate and a couple of things. But the thing I like about it is it really helps them understand, here's money to you that wouldn't have happened otherwise we did this project. Versus in this particular way, that 20% will go to them when they get their big check for their property taxes, and they won't know, have a clue which dollars came from this project. So anyway, but that's how it'll work. We went through, Ryan and Craig Smith and I worked very closely with their legal team and with their folks, and I think it's a very good agreement. I think, you know, it's much better than we started with. I think it lays forward out what can and can't happen, and yet it protects both sides in this, because it's, you know, it's a 30-year project. Ryan made a comment. He might still be here when it's done, when we were teasing him, but he's the youngster amongst us. But but anyway, it'll go for a long, you know, many years after. We looked at definitions. We had to make sure that the definitions in this agreement match the definitions in the state statute. There was some wrangling over that, but Ryan had some good ideas, and we tweaked some things, and I think we're there with that.
The only things I think worth mentioning, pointing out, is in your packet was an earlier draft. Over the weekend, we were negotiating, and then Monday, and then this morning at 8, and then traded the last copies today at, like, 4. So they're all just little tweaks, but to highlight some of them, one of the things we changed the definition, well, we changed the term vertical construction. So they get to count as, yeah, they get to count as qualifying for use of the tax money, building the first four floors of vertical construction. They had a definition that didn't quite match the state definition. Brian mentioned that. So if you looked at this agreement versus what you saw on Friday, this now has a different title for it instead of vertical construction, just so we make thing match up. Also, the participant, Larry H. Miller Group, was very kind. We asked them yesterday morning if they'd put in a blanket indemnity. There's two indemnity provisions saying if we get audited, I mean, this is the second one that actually has a participation agreement signed, or will be, assuming that you approve it for signature. It'll be the second one, Vineyard being the first, and third one overall approved. The Sandy one, my understanding is they didn't enter into the agreement yet. And so we don't know what coming with auditors and stuff like that. No one knows. It's not like an RDA that's proven time after time after time. This is new. And so they said, hey, there's going to be some risks. We'll take those risks on. In some of the statutory interpretation, they've been a great partner there. We're allowing them to trigger. And then the earlier draft, we decided as long as we were reasonable, we decided when to trigger. And in discussions with them, we're going to let them trigger. So typically in RDA, we disagree now that in year 5 of the RDA, that's when all the increment starts to be collected. HCRZs are somewhat unique in the 30-year window, 15-year collection period. There's going to be some strategy to when to trigger that, right? You do it in the first year, the fifth year, the 10th year, and it's by parcel rather than the whole thing at once. Different parcels could trigger at different times. And so in discussions with them, we felt it comfortable to let them make that business decision. So prior to triggering, we'll collect whatever tax along with the other taxing entities, and after, we'll collect the tax, and in the middle, they'll get their portion. And so those are kind of the main highlights of changes from what you saw in your agreement over the weekend to what is in the final agreement here.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah, sure.
Was there an amendment made to the affordable housing reporting years?
Not
yet. We have 45 days to finish working.
That's what I was going to. There's a few other things I was going to bring up, Ryan.
That's in the attachment.
But the attachment is, if you read the agreement, is basically an example. And we're agreeing to agree later. We've got 45 days to come up to that agreement. We think there's some things that really need to be fixed in that. But we didn't spend a lot of time working on that because we needed to get this done. But we will have that agreement back to you. There were some other things that we had some issues with. There's a 7% interest that they want to be able to draw. We were kind of really nervous about, you know, what are you trying to do there? Are you trying to get your increment plus 7%? And then they finally, Ryan kind of pushed them, and they finally said, no, this is just a pro forma thing. We need to be able to show to our investors and our people that we're getting interest. So it doesn't add, you know, there's only, at the end of the day, there's only X amount of money that will be, right. And every year there will only be so much money, and there will only be so much at the end of the day, and that's eligible. And so it really doesn't make any difference whether they want to say, well, part of this is interest. That's their bookkeeping. We'll just write them out a check for what comes in and they're eligible.
And it may affect their pro forma as the cash flow.
Right.
Like if they can show in the first 5 years they paid 7% on the parking garage or whatever they built 3 years in a row, they can collect that sooner than waiting 10 years for the other projects to come in.
But once standpoint and an obligation of the city, we can fix that.
Yeah.
Room, so it's
well, that's already in there. We fixed
the
that. And if there's a problem, they'll indemnify us because the statute doesn't say everything that can be collected. It doesn't. I mean, this is a new thing.
It becomes an eligible expense, just like the buildings, like the other parking garages that will be built, infrastructure, all those things will become eligible expenses to be reimbursed once they put that in their request for payment, the very last page, second to last page. They have to kind of say, this is what we built, this is how much we charged. It's you know, here it says 24% of the development cost of an office building. So they can't charge for the entire cost of the office. They can do 24% of it.
And that's all set out in the statute.
Yeah, so. Right. That's just mirroring the statute. And we just wanted to make sure that, like Ryan said, that this is new territory. We don't want to be made an example of. And so that we have, you know, and if they choose to spend money that on things that aren't eligible, that we don't know about it, but that, and somehow it gets found out, they indemnify us.
It gets determined not to qualify.
Yeah.
And because, yeah. I mean, it's all going to be above board. Every receipt's going to be there. And so
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to just say, so from that standpoint on the affordable housing side, we'll do the tracking. There's probably going to be another entity we work with. We haven't decided that yet on all that.
Yeah, there'll be like maybe an entity that will qualify the people in that.
Right. Yeah.
We'll track internally. We'll track we'll track whether they're on target.
Yeah.
With their, you know, their 51% is residential. You know, the 50% or the 10%. Sorry, 10.6% of that is affordable.
Have the different 60, 70, and 80% of countywide AMI. And to answer a question that I know will be on many people's mind, most of this, a large percentage, will be rental, not home ownership, which is what you find in an urban center. It was asked in the HDRZ meeting by the legislators, Representative Schultz or Senator Harper, I'm not sure which one, or maybe both asked it. And that's just how it works out as you urbanize and go vertical. Less home ownership, more rental. But it'll be at the affordable rates. So if you have more questions, love
just
to answer.
One more thing. Yeah. I think this is important, is that this is going to cost a lot of money to administer for the city, RDA. And so the statute allows for us to collect 1% of the increment to put towards our, and we haggled back and forth across that. But what we finally settled on was that because their council admitted that, you know, they're probably the first several years we're not going to recover our costs. And so what we'll do is we'll kind of keep a running tally. And then once we get to a point where there's more money coming in than our costs, we'll recover those other costs. And that's a change Ryan was referring to that he's just barely made at 4 o'clock, trying to get that all straightened out. But and then after that, once we're made whole, because we're not trying to make a profit on this thing. We just need to cover our costs. It's not fair for general funds to cover the cost for this. And then after that, if there's more money, we'll just remit that along with the other, along as our costs, and we'll reconcile that annually, look at what our costs were, how they compare to the 1%, and then tally that as we go. So I think that's the main.
Not collect any of that 1% potential or anything. Keep a tab until.
Well, we're gonna start trying to collect as soon as there's increment to collect, but there won't be increment in the first year or two or three, and we'll be doing administrative things.
Until 26,
we will.
Yeah.
So once there's increment,
we'll keep
collect
track of our costs.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
we'll collect, reimburse ourselves. That's a change. We just had an awkward wording in there. It sounded like if we didn't make it every year, we would relook and reset. And we're not going to reset. We're going to keep a running tab, as Ryan said.
We won't be able to recover anything from the past.
We'll recover. But we anticipate at some point we may make that 1% maybe more than the actual cost, even paying back anything. And if that happens, then, you know, the whole goal of this, yeah, it's wonderful.
As the project moves on, as the big value, more and more is developed, the values, that 1% will grow. Our costs of administering won't grow at that same rate.
Yeah.
So that's
not some, terrible.
It may.
Oh, no, that's a good
thing. And the goal is that this is successful. So all the money we can pour back into the project through what's allowed by statute helps make it more successful.
So that's all in there. So if you have any questions, but other than that, it's substantially the same, or there's a few like little typos and pagination things we fixed. I don't know how much those concern you, but everything else you saw in your packet.
Yeah, and so like I said, this is to set forth our agreement, our rules of how we work with each other. It has nothing to do with the creation of the art. And all of the project areas we do, if we have a partner, not all of them actually do. Sometimes we just do the development. We do the infrastructure. Sunil goes, gets a bond, and we pay it back. But in the case where there's a partner, we always do a participation agreement. So.
Awesome.
And
thank you.
You'll be seeing one for the CRA in upcoming meetings.
Yeah, that's our next step will be to go through the process with the CRA, which is the, you know, we've got the donut and the donut hole, which is the HTRC.
Did you say
and
donut? The area around the donut?
Right?
Yeah.
Donut.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's a metaphor.
I know. It's
the best one we can think of.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to do the public hearing, and then we'll see if anybody has any additional questions. Thank you so much. I'm now going to open the public hearing on Resolution RDA 2023-05, authorizing the chair of the board to sign the South Station HTRZ participation agreement. Is there anyone in person that would like to speak? Seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak? Okay, seeing none, we will close this public hearing and turn to the board and see if you have any questions.
No questions.
Okay. Seeing none, I will ask if there is a motion on Resolution RDA 2023-05, authorizing the chair of the board to sign the South Station HTRZ participation agreement.
Madam Chair, I'll move that we approve Resolution RDA 2023-05, as you have stated.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second.
Jason.
All right, Mr. McGuire, thank you. All right, any additional discussion? All right, seeing none, Mrs. Crookston, could you please lead this board in a roll call vote?
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. McGuire?
Yes.
Mr. Harris?
Yes.
Mr. Marler?
Yes.
And Ms. Sander?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That passes unanimously. Thank you. I'm glad we told them they didn't need to stay for that because they said, do you want us to stay?
And
we suggested they didn't need to, so I'm glad. Okay, thank you. I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn the redevelopment agency meeting and return us to our regular city council meeting.
So moved.
Yes, I'll second that.
All right, motion by Mr. Marler and a second by Mrs. Zander. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, staff reports and calendaring items. Mr. Lewis, do you have anything for us?
The only item I have for you is just a reminder, I sent a meeting invite to you for the training with Laura Lewis at for next Wednesday, rather than going to that meeting now, which was the original plan. So that'll be next Wednesday at noon, and we will bring in some lunch for you during that training, so... That's all I have for you. Oh, there is one other thing that I have, and I should have mentioned earlier. I'd like to welcome Raymond Garrison as our new Public Works Director to his first city council meeting tonight. So congratulations to Ray for being willing to accept that job and take on the role of Public Works Director.
Thank you.
Big shoes to fill.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
We also have somebody here with us in person, I think, for the first time as Assistant City Manager. Right?
That's true. We have Jason Rasmussen, our assistant city manager, and we will do the swearing-in ceremonies for both of these gentlemen at the next council meeting on August 15th. Rather than do it tonight, we wanted to wait one more meeting so that Jason can have his entire family here. Mm-hmm. He has a son coming home and one just getting ready to leave, and there's a meeting where they'll both be home at the same time. So
we'll try to be more punctual.
Awesome.
Yeah, let's accommodate their
families. It's fluid. I can't tell you what time it'll be, but yeah, awesome. Thank you. Well, congratulations to you both. Thank you. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Mr. Luce, do you have anything for us? No?
Nope.
Anything?
They all shut their mouths.
They're all like, mm, no, 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 no. Anything over here?
They're probably going to punch the one.
Just
that says
real it. Quick,
yes,
as you know.
Mr. Kyle always tells us about another road closure.
No.
One more closure.
Why don't you take out trees in Brad Marler's
name? Sorry. Now, just real quick, as you know, we didn't really do any road paving projects last summer, so we're really making up for it this summer. So we've been getting, I don't know if they're complaints, but a lot of people calling in concerned about this or that. So if you hear any of your constituents, just give us a call and let us know, and we'll try to talk to them as best we can. So there's a lot of work going on right now around the city. So
thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Schaefermeyer doesn't want to say one thing. Look at him. Nothing for me. Yeah. Anything?
Crawl into a fetal position.
Okay.
He was quoted so many times.
Okay. All right. I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Jason, do you want to second that?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 We are adjourned. Thanks, everyone.